It's Monday, April 29th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. And for some reason, we don't know how to count around here at Geek News Central. I got screwed up in the number counts. This is show 854, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our April special is just about over. If you don't listen now, you're going to miss out. Get 35% off at GoDaddy using promo code GO35OFF2 or get a .com for $2.95. All the promo codes are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, you know what comes next? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks for joining the show tonight, or wherever you may be listening, daytime, on the treadmill, in a car, out on the Alaskan tundra, wherever it may be. Thanks for being here, and thanks for staying subscribed. And if you've been a longtime listener of the show, welcome to the Ohana. All of the longtime listeners, family members here at the show, I want to give a warm welcome to them, of course. And if you're new to the show, hey, this is the tech show that just keeps on giving. I tell you, we've been at this a long time, 854 episodes officially tonight. We somehow got the number count off, like 1-851 or something like that. But we don't want to give us one credit. That would not be good on our march to 1,000, because then it would only be 999. But anyway, hey, everyone, welcome to the show. And if you're new to the show, definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. And let's see if I can scroll the... window up here. Yeah, come over to the website. Get subscribed to the show. You can do that right on the front website. Sign up for the newsletter. That's easy to do as well. That way, you get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And, of course, that's the place to stay connected with us as well. Lots of great articles being written by our writers at Geek News Central. So lots of great content on the show on a weekly basis. You can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email me here directly, geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline remains open at 619-342-7365. Those of you that are overseas, you can do 619-342-7365. All I got to do is add a +1 to that to get through to the hotline. But everyone, welcome to the show. Yes, it's a little interesting evening here. I'm going to tell you about something new in the studio that you can't see here in a few minutes. But I want to remind you guys, of course, always to get over to techpodcast.com. Check out all the great shows over there. And we're up on live stream today. We're up on Ustream as well. We're pushing both streams. Starting next show, we'll be back up on the Amazon Flash Media server. For most of our shows, we've taken the highlight at our TPN channel long enough. We're going to hand the reins over to another show to get highlighted on our TPN channel on live stream for the next month. So rounding up to get a contestant, I guess, for a better word, to be on there. So we'll let you know about that on the next show as well. Hey, as we're really rolling down here at the end of the month, I did not get an email from GoDaddy yet telling me what the new deal for May is. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to watch the website, because many of you are going to listen to this on the last day of April, and there will probably be a code will be dying, and you guys will not know how to save money. But you can always save money at GoDaddy by really, it's real simple. Go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's going to get you really the place to go to find all of my discounts. And there's a code there for everyday utilization. The $295.com's Geek 295. It's limit one. I have a feeling that's going to end here. 35% off your total order. And again, this is due to expire on May 1st, or actually the end of tomorrow. Go 35 off too is the code there. Of course, we got $1.99 hosting, 15% off your order. We got a 10% overall code. We've got .com renewals for $8.49. We've got some $5, $10, and $20 off, and also some $12.99 SSL certificates. And you're going to definitely want to check out the stuff over at GoDaddy. They got great products and services, and I use them exclusively for all of my web hosting, for all of my websites. And of course, we have all of our servers, all of my servers over at GoDaddy as well. So definitely give them a try. And if you ever run into an issue with your GoDaddy account, and that's the beauty about being connected to this show, I've got a direct line to senior leadership at GoDaddy. We can always email them and say, hey, this is what's up. They can help us out here. We'll get you connected with the right people. But definitely give GoDaddy a try. We want you to support our sponsor. We want to thank them for being a sponsor here in the month of April. We'll talk about that a little bit more, about all of our sponsors here in a little while. But let me just talk a little bit about what happened this past weekend. On Saturday, we had the new media show. Rob Greenlee and I welcomed Michael Wolff from, and I tell you, Michael was a great guest. And if you guys haven't seen that episode, now, this is the new media show is really designed, the new media show is designed for people that are creating content or want to know what's going on with the space. But Michael was a writer of a Forbes article that popped a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about that particular article at length with him. And let me see if I can get this without this ad popping up. I can show you this. It was about funny men and iPhones, why the podcast is finally coming to its own. But he also has his own website at nextmarket.co, and a pretty cool domain if you ask me. But Michael was a great guest, and I look forward to having him on at a later date. We're going to be announcing tomorrow morning some major, basically a press release on basically the first of in a series of releases we're going to do each month. It's going to be looking at different segments of the podcast space and releasing some stats. And we're just going to give basically focus on a section of our stats global data each month. So the first one comes out tomorrow. I actually emailed Michael that information ahead of time, so he may be featuring us tomorrow with some of the information we shared with him. But it was really cool to talk with him. But if you are into the podcast space and want to see what's going on, definitely check out the new media show. Well, my son's back from the Big Island. He arrived in Honolulu Friday night, picked him up. Of course, he had 101 different stories to tell us. Ran the battery out on the, I sent him with a Sony Bloggy, and I should have sent him with an extra battery pack to charge it, because he got into day two, almost the end of the day two, and he killed the battery, but he came back with lots of stuff, more than he would have ever came back with having taken an instant camera or something like that. So this was a great way to send him on the road on a short trip. Next time, though, we'll just send him with one of these big, what I recommend, these Anker external battery packs. And let me actually take the tape, the plastic off this. This is available on Amazon, the Anker. And I tell you, A-N-K-E-R. I think this is a 10,000 MAU. This is what we've been using a lot in even some of our ingress plays. I have three of these. And the reason I have three is we used them at CES to keep our Wi-Fi stuff or MiFi's charged all day, or basically running all day. And worked out really well. So now I'm using them with the kids and doing different things. We'll talk about that here. But anyway, had a great time on the Big Island. And then Saturday morning did the new media show. And then Saturday afternoon, my son and I took off and we went and played Ingress for about 2 hours. For those of you that are following Ingress or playing already with a Android device, I made level 7. So he made level 4, so we're doing really good on that, having fun doing it. And I think the best thing I like about this game, as I've talked about before, it's getting me out. I'm doing a lot of walking, meeting a lot of people. It's a lot of fun. So that's the main thing. It's getting us out of the house. And you guys can see I'm getting a little bit of sun, which is good. And even more importantly, a lot more exercise. And I know this isn't really tech-related. As you guys know, we always talk about a little bit of stuff going on here. But one thing that has been neglected really for a long time was the studio. And really, Saturday night, my wife says, listen, you got time to go out and monkey around and playing this game. She says, you can clean the studio. And she says, I want this, and this emptied. I want this moved. So Sunday was a big day here. You guys can't see it because what you guys see is, you know, this part of the studio. You don't see the back part and the walls. It is actually, I would say, presentable again. You can actually, people can walk in, walk around, look in the studio, walk behind. There's room. Stuff isn't stacked on the sides. I mean, I had gear that had been sent to me for reviews. I had paperwork. I mean, it was bad. And you can, you know, you really couldn't see it. But I talked about in the show that stuff was kind of getting kind of crazy over here. And it's very much more another room in the house along with a studio again. My wife's really pleased. And what I did was, some of it went in the dumpster, not a lot, because it wasn't a lot of stuff that was need to throw away. It wasn't so much it was trash. It was just electronics and parts and stuff from CES and cables. And so I got really organized, used my Dynamo labeler and labeled everything going into tubs, cables, gear for CES. I mean, just everything. We had it all segregated nice and really we're not done yet. We still got to do these back cabinets back here. Probably have another 2 hours in here to really kind of lighten the load. And in all told, I'll probably have 6 or 7 of those nice sealable tubs that will go into storage. Everything labeled, so I'll know how to get to it. But a job well done. And I actually was kind of like, you know, it's one of those types of things where it just things have been crazy here. I mean, absolutely. And I got to thinking about how busy I've been. And it's been pretty insane. It really has. And I'm still kind of behind on some projects and hopefully get caught up this week. And I got a bunch of accounting to do and a bunch of other stuff. But you guys aren't here for that. You guys are here for tech. Hey, I want to share with you, you know, one thing that the iPhone 5 has had some challenges with is there hasn't been a lot of battery extenders for it. And I, you know, they're finally starting to be approved and coming on market. And one that I'd been following was one by a company called MaxBoost, M-A-X-B-O-S-T. And I'll show it to you guys. And what's kind of slick about this case is when you don't want the charger, you just pull this piece out. And this basically acts as a protection for, and for those of you that are actually listening, it's got a basically an outer safety shell and then a backpack that goes on the back and extends the length a little bit. And basically, it's be able to extend the battery. Now, I had this battery pretty low when we got back from picking up the kids today, and this was waiting for me from Amazon. Again, it's from Max Boost. I think it was $60 or something like that. And slid it in, started the charging. It's about halfway down, and the battery, let me shut it off. The battery's pretty much full. So you might get 2 charges, maybe 1.5 out of it. So Max Boost, if you're looking for an extended battery pack for your iPhone 5, this is the piece. And not to be outdone, I got a couple of things too, a keyboard for my iPad and a case for my Nexus 7. So, anyway, crazy busy here and lots of stuff. Matter of fact, after the show gets done tonight, I've got some reporting to do for some of our advertisers. And speaking of our advertisers, let's take care of our last piece of business here. Before we get into the full content, because I do have a great stack of stuff for you tonight. And we want to thank the folks over at Citrix GoToMeeting for being here and being our sponsors. And, you know, my team is spread out. You know, I got a Michigan, Ohio, Denver, you know, all New York. So really the team is spread out all over the place. Of course, I'm here in Hawaii. And the team, you know, we get together a couple of times a year, but the rest of the time we're all remote and on the phone. And so what I do is we use GoToMeeting often in these collaboration sessions. Today, getting this press release ready, we're in a GoToMeeting session. I had Kathy, my copy editor, looking at it. I had Angela looking at technical aspects to make sure our wording was right, that we weren't putting out anything that was incorrect. I was in there kind of getting guidance, and it was awesome because we were all working on this document at the same time instead of doing 30 emails back and forth. Within about 5 or 6 minutes, we had the document really from a rough to a draft, and Kathy just had to go through one more last time, make sure the punctuation was right, and we were ready to boom, and we submitted it up, and it's basically going to punch at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. So that was bringing everyone together in different locations and using GoToMeeting. And it makes it easy for really for your entire team to get online whenever you need to, no matter how far people are away from each other. You know, you share the same screen, you stay on the same page, and the built-in HD video conferencing makes your online meetings just like being in the same room, so you can see each other. And, you know, right here in my studio, you know, I have just a standard Logitech webcam that I use for those sessions. And it's simple to launch a meeting or from anywhere using your computer, smartphone, or tablet, even present from your iPad. And I love GoToMeeting. I really do. And I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. And don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember to use that promo code PODCAST so we get credit. We want to thank Citrix GoToMeeting for being a sponsor. And of course, this is the end of the month. We want to thank GoDaddy. We want to thank folks at Dyn who were here earlier in the month. And we want to thank, of course, the folks from Citrix GoToMeeting for being a sponsor on this show. Really helping us keep the lights on, keep things moving forward, and allowing me to pay the bills and, you know, feed the family and all that. And we don't want to forget to thank all of our insiders as well that came in this month and really donated from a large spectrum. We've had a couple of new insiders come in that have asked not to be named, that have made some significant one-time contributions. I want to thank them for that. That is greatly appreciated. You know, that little extra ka-ching in the PayPal account really, really helps, and it goes a long way. So again, it's, you know, you can start out supporting the show as low as $2 a month. I think we got it set up so that you can go all the way up to 50 or make a one-time donation. But that $2, $5, $10 really is a sweet spot for people that are supporting the show. They want to thank those that are by being an insider on our insider page at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on here. And let's get into the tech stuff. Already, I have yakked way too long on just all this other stuff going on here. Hey, those of you in the chat room, how is the audio? Ever since we've gotten the new TriCaster hooked up, the audio has been a little, we've been having some challenges. So how does the audio sound tonight? Dale, Spitballs, is it good? Is it low? It looks to me like it might be a little low, but seems if I raised up too high, it was clipping. So let me know how it is on the live stream, and then we'll make an adjustment if we need to. All right, so let's go ahead here and let me close this out. I don't need you anymore. And I've got through all of this. I can save you. Okay. And yes, we don't want to close that one. That'll shut down a recording. And then let me load. Yes, here we go. So a little low, not too buzzy. So is it actually, are you hearing a buzz again? Something isn't right yet. I'll get that figured out. It's driving me crazy. You know, it's just a simple switch out on a box, but yet I'm having, you know, audio issues, and it shouldn't be. There should have been a smooth transition, but it hasn't been. All right, so let's talk about Department of Justice. And Department of Justice wants to be able to fine tech companies who don't let it wiretap your communications. They're trying to put through some legislation. There's a draft proposal where a court could levy a series of escalating fines starting at tens of thousands of dollars on firms that fail to comply with wiretap orders, according to persons spoke on the condition of anonymity to the folks at TechDirt to discuss internal deliberations. A company that does not comply with an order within a certain period would face automatic judicial inquiry, which could lead to fines after 90 days. Fines that remain unpaid would be doubled daily. So really what they're doing here is the FBI wants the law change so that they can basically say, all right, you got to open up a back door so we can get in and spy on what's going on with, you know, people using your service, specific people, I'm sure. But, you know, this latest proposal on this is going to dictate wiretapping backdoor standards. And that's pretty incredible if you think about it. So we know that having a back door in any system would obviously open up that same system to risk. And it would you know, the risk of someone exploiting that specific, you know, issue or that specific back door and being able to get in. And just kind of scary to me that there would be a back door available to, you know, the Department of Justice to go into anyone's communication system, audio or so forth. I think these glasses are horrible. And it basically allow them to, you know, tap in. So, you know, some of it technology-wise is, would be very tough, I would think. Be very expensive for companies to, you know, really to put that those features in. But that's what could be coming down the pike. They get these things clean. I guess they're clean enough. Every once in a while, you know, those of you that wear glasses, doesn't it drive you nuts? You get a pair, you get glasses there. All of a sudden, they've got this streak in them, and you just can't get rid of that streak unless you go like run underneath water or something. That's one downfall about wearing spectacles. But I'm going to tell you, I couldn't do the contact thing. It just wouldn't work for me. Sticking something in my eye is not something I could do. But I tell you right now, with these things driving me crazy, it might be a good alternative. A little bit on the space front. Apparently, astronauts like their like their coffee. And since, you know, and I, especially a lot of these astronauts are basically military members. A lot of them are prior military or still military. And and converted over to the NASA Corps. But, you know, NASA up to this time is the coffee's been pretty disgusting. So some freshmen at engineering students at Rice University had developed a simple approach to alleviating this nasty coffee. They developed a method and equipment that allows astronauts to add liquid ingredients, cream, sweetener, and lemon juice from a foil package to another that contains either black coffee or tea. So no spills in microgravity can is really going to, what that prevents. And also, it gives them a chance to, you know, to tone down some of this harsh coffee that the NASA's sending to space. I tell you, NASA, what you need to do is you guys just need to buy some good Kona coffee, get the real deal. That is what you need to make coffee for your astronauts. That's some good, good stuff. Even I, when I'm not this like this big super coffee connoisseur, matter of fact, I have really not drank a lot of coffee in my life, but good black Kona coffee, man, you just, it's the best. It really, really is. So, there's some talk on what's going on with Apple right now and what's going on, what's going to happen with iOS version 7. And it's being reported today over at Gizmodo that with Johnny Ivey in the seat, that there's going to be a flattening. And, you know, those of you that are into design, and actually my developer, Brian, or my graphics guy, Brian at Raw Voice, he is going to be really excited because he's really into the flat design. And if any of you saw our new site design at blueberry.com, it really followed kind of a window-esque type of look. And let me bring this up. So what a flat design is really, it's not shiny. There's not rounded edges. Things are square. You know, it's not this big 3D effect. It's just really, really flat. And it's being said that iOS 7 is going to have the same kind of flat look. And it's supposedly codenamed Innsbruck. And it's going to be a pretty big departure from stitching and line paper of iOS of past. And for some of us, these changes may be alienating, or if nothing else, a little surprising. But they say it's going to make it easier to do things in apps and design and in way things work. So we'll see where this goes. But, you know, if you look at what they did with the Apple Podcasting app, they made that change and made it really flat, and they made it easy to navigate, and it was a, you know, 100% improvement over the gross thing they had in there before with that reel to reel player that was really you know, a slap in the face really to most of us that were creating media. So we'll see what will happen with this flat look and get rid of all this stitching and other stuff that's going on, and we're going to get widgets that are similar to Google and so forth, and very similar to Windows Phone. So we'll see where this leads, but sounds like a big departure from the current design, which makes a lot of sense because if you look at the iPhone, there's a lot of wasted space on the real estate. I mean, it's huge amount of wasted space. So we'll see where this leads, and time will tell. Okay. The guys are saying too. Yep, audio's a little on the low side and a tinny buzz sound. All right. Well, again, I'll go back to the drawing board and figure out what the heck's going on. All right, LG. And the thing is, I know it's past the because the audio recordings have been perfect, so I know it's further down the chain. So I'm going to have to dig into this thing deeper and find out what's going on. All right, LG is starting accepting pre-orders for the world's first curved OLED TV. Now, we saw the curved OLED TV at CES. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get out cheap. This is going to be, it's going to set you back a few G. Matter of fact, the 55-inch, LG 55-inch curved OLED TV is going to set you back a cool $13,500. But I'm going to tell you, Don Bain and I looked at this TV at CES, and we were like, wow, it is an incredible, incredible picture. And really what it's going to have is going to give you this IMAX-like viewing. And it was pretty incredible when you looked at this from a just standing outside the booth and looking at it, and it was really pretty incredible. You notice I've said incredible a few times, because just that, if you haven't seen, those of you that have not seen a big OLED screen before, if you get a chance and it's a big box or something has one, and the majority of us cannot even afford one, but if you get a chance to go and look at one, and they're running demo videos on it, it's more real than life. That's how bright and colorful the displays are. So I think you'll almost get a false sense of reality looking at these screens, but it's definitely going to be expensive. And probably outside of the price range of many of us for many years to come. All right, the Volvo. Well, those of you that know me, for a number of years, I drove a Volvo station wagon. And it's a vehicle that my wife purchased one afternoon while the kids were running around, quite frankly, upsetting a used car salesman. But that's the best way to buy a used car. Borrow a couple of your neighbor's kids if you don't have small ones, and feed them a lot of soda before you go, and just let them go crazy in the used car dealer. They will make a deal and sell you a car cheap. But the folks at Volvo are building a hybrid drive with a 60,000 RPM flywheel to get an increase of 25% boost to fuel economy. Now, this Volvo hybrid drive is going to have the 60,000 RPM flywheel. It's going to be housed in a vacuum. Well, they're going to have a vacuum pump, so it'll be near vacuum as you're going to get. But basically, this thing is going to help you brake. It's going to help you accelerate. It's going to be attached in the rear of the vehicle, close to the back of the rear drivetrain. And they show a little video of it on this site. So those of you that love this kind of engineering stuff, you're going to want to see this thing in operation, how it's going to work. And the demo that they've got is really, really cool. And I don't want to play it because it'll bust us on a copyright violation when this video goes up on YouTube. But definitely look at this. This is called the KERS, K-E-R-S system. It takes up less room than a hybrid battery, and it gives you this additional 25% boost to miles per gallon. This is not changing out and making your car, this is running on a standard fuel car, basically running on gas. And but they got some pretty incredible stats to go along with this. I thought it was super cool and thought I would share with you. All right, OS 10.9 expected in June, bringing Tab Finder and a faster Safari. Apple has really been uncharacteristically quiet in 2013 about this upcoming version of OS 10. And we know that WWDC is just a couple of months away, but they're saying that with 10.9, there's going to be better multi-monitor support, a tab user interface for the Finder, and a rebuilt web browser. And the next operating system seems to be more for the power user. Not a lot of other features have been announced, but that's kind of what the rumor controls happening. They don't know what it's going to be called from a lion or jaguar or whatever that may be. So we'll see where this goes. But OS 10 is on the horizon, will be coming soon. We'll keep our eyes peeled on that. Well, Congress has basically tabled the internet tax for a few weeks. They're probably going to pick it right back up sometime in May. So the internet tax, basically where you go and buy stuff online, that is still in the hopper, probably is going to happen. There's been a lot of speculation on a variety of different sites. Computer World says internet tax is the inevitable about to happen. So in other words, is it going to happen? And they say, yeah, they think it is. And we'll see. And we know that debate rages in circles, and I don't want to see it happen, but with states hurting for money the way they are and looking to get every possible tax dollar, I just see this being pushed through. Now, if you live outside the United States, switching gears here, Major League Baseball is bringing live game streaming to YouTube, but not in the United States. So Major League Baseball is offering 2 live games per day to fans in most countries around the world. Fans everywhere get access to thousands of hours of archive footage dating back 60 years. But so if you live in the U.S., Canada, South Korea, Taiwan, and Japan, if you live in those countries, you're not going to be able to watch the videos. But everywhere else, you will. And but apparently, this is an arrangement with Major League Baseball and YouTube. So I don't know if you have to pay for it. Doesn't look like you're going to, but a couple live games a day, at least for those of you outside the United States. It's a good start. Basically they're being have to be very careful because they've got these licensing agreements with sports networks. So what that means is they have to be real careful on making that content available in the United States because it busts their broadcast arrangements and agreements. So time will tell on where this leads. There's a leaked doc out showing that Foursquare has big plans on your check-in data. Well, of course, you had to have been an idiot not to expect this, but Foursquare is now going to start selling to retailers and say when someone checks in here, we can offer them a deal, a discount, a coupon. Makes a lot of sense. I think it would work out well for Foursquare as they still check in places I am, and if someone shows me a great deal, I might be enticed to go look at it. Yahoo's bid for Dailymotion has been axed by the French political group. The French minister didn't want a U.S. company taking over a controlling stake in the video sharing site, according to published reports. So I didn't realize that Dailymotion was a French site to begin with, but it's been killed. Their takeover bid has been killed by the French government. The site apparently is worth about $300 million, and Yahoo is trying to get in at about the $200 million level, but that is kaput at this point. So a failed acquisition or failed stake by Yahoo. All right, and remember, Google Now, how it suggests search results when you're typing, you get a list of search results that come up. Well, Google Now is coming to Apple iOS. The Google Now service has been extended into Apple iPhones and iPads. So if you haven't updated your Google stuff, go ahead and do so now because this is already implemented. And of course, Google wants you to stay on their search engine. Obviously, they'd like to have you use an Android device, but they're going to put their technologies on other platforms where it can draw you to their service. One thing I've been doing is I put my search engine on Firefox into random mode. So every time I do a search, I either go to Bing, I go to Yahoo, or to Google. And it's going to be kind of interesting to see the mixed results and usually end up back over in Google ultimately. But it's nice to kind of just play around with those other search engines from time to time to see the type of results because they are a bit different. In some ways, they're really good, but in other ways, they're really, really opposite. Great. If you're looking for something a little fun, and I had to show this to my daughter because she has to accumulate 60 hours of driving before she can get her driver's license. And over the past couple of weeks, we haven't been doing as much driving because we're down to one vehicle with my wife having sold her car and not yet picked up another vehicle. So I've been kind of leery on where I want her to drive, because if she wrecks this one, we're out of vehicle and we'd have to, you know, rush right out and do something. But in the UK, specifically in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, a gal was trying to parallel park. And there's a great video, and it's on the BBC. It took her 30 minutes to parallel park her car. And this was close to a college, and these college students were watching her, and they were just merciless. And I don't know if you ever gotten in a situation where you're having a hard time parking a vehicle, but this lady probably had frustration written all over her face before it was over, because she was getting heckled pretty bad by the students. I'll have the link up in the show notes to get you a little bit of a giggle, but you just have to feel sorry for the lady being in that situation. But parallel parking, it is a skill you must have to get one's driver's license. There's over on ours, the Spaceship One has completed its first rocket-powered flight. Congratulations to Virgin Galactic Space Vehicle. Oh, Spaceship Two, excuse me, completed its first rocket-powered flight to supersonic speeds and reached a maximum altitude of 55,000 feet. And this is pretty good. The test flight brings Spaceship Two one step closer to achieving space flight, and they think that they're going to be able to start taking passengers into outer space by 2014. They're saying now, with this supersonic test done, they're going to rapidly ratchet up the speeds now. And this actual powered flight only lasted like 16 seconds or something like that. But they definitely got up to Mach point 1.2. And so they're really pleased with the performance. And we'll see what happens with this. You know, Virgin Galactic has 529 confirmed reservations, costing $200,000 per head for a ride. And boy, oh boy, that's a lot of money. So we'll see where they go. But if, you know, $200,000 for, if I had the cash, would you do it? If I was rich, man, write a check. For $200,000 to go into outer space, I don't know how long they're going to be able to stay up, but at least to get up and be officially in outer space, it'd be really, really cool. It really would. Over on the Windows Phone blog, there's a great, great video. And it's basically a Nokia Lumia 920 commercial. And if nothing else, it's one of the most well-done commercials I've seen in a long time. And the punchline is obviously about advertising for the Nokia Lumia 920, which is was actually been picked by Gizmodo recently, really to be they're one of their choice phones for the year. And of course, it's running Windows Phone 8, and people are pretty impressed with this. But anyway, have the link up in the show notes for you. You guys will get a giggle out of the video for sure. There's a great article over on readwrite.com, and it's talking about the patent system and how a tiny startup faces financial extinction. Ditto is a 15-person eyewear startup that utilizes remarkable software. It's a 3D modeling system that replicates a buyer's face, and it basically lets customers try on glasses virtually before purchasing them. Unfortunately for Ditto, its innovative software has put the company in crosshairs of Glasses.com. Now, Glasses.com is owned by 1-800-CONTACT, a much larger online eye retailer that recently purchased an old patent from a defunct company, U.S. Patent 7,016,824, covers selling glasses online based on 3D models and advanced its own version of 3D try-on software for glasses. So 1-800-CONTACT claims that it plans it's on its own service as an iPad app soon, but the folks at Ditto launched their own version, and they're being sued into extinction. So the folks over at Ditto says, this is game-changing. It's terrifying. We had to stop all marketing. Every dollar has to go to this litigation. 1-800-CONTACTS refuses to license the patent to Ditto. Instead, it's seeking an injunction to stop Ditto from using the software. The only option, as Ditto sees it, is to lawyer up and try to win the suit. Making things more expensive, 1-800-CONTACTS is suing California-based Ditto in its home state of Utah. So, not to be surprised, but of course, the 1-800 folks are owned by this big mega company. So it's going to be ugly. So anyway, we'll see where this goes, but it's definitely not good here. Some more patent troll stuff going on, killing innovation, something that all of us would be able to use. All right, over on Salon, there's a great article about a gentleman who basically has been in jail. This guy wrote a piece about the internet didn't exist when he began serving his prison sentence in 1987. And it talks about all the time he's been in jail up until his release just recently, and how the internet had blown his mind, and talks about what he did to try to get connected or actually have an online presence even while he was in prison. It's kind of an interesting read. I'll have the link up in the show notes. And if you live in the San Francisco area, there's some chances you'll be able to hear him speak. Another article over on Slate, Lady Liberty is going to be watching you. So apparently there was an article being put together by a gentleman who was basically looking at new security features being put in place at the Statue of Liberty. And he was requesting info, and apparently one of the companies that's involved in the security rollout basically threatened to sue him, excuse me, if he published the article. Well, he went ahead and published it. And so we'll see if he gets sued, but he just wanted to find out what kind of security they're going to have place basically where the Statue of Liberty is. And but anyway, there was lots of attempts to suppress him from doing this. But apparently, if you visit the Statue of Liberty when they reopen it, you're going to be, how should we say it? They'll be watching your face closely. All right, over in Ogizmo, and this is really cool. This is a cool project and just goes to show you what can be done. We've talked about the Raspberry Pi here quite a little bit, but an RC car can be controlled with Raspberry Pi as a brain, basically using an app on a mobile device. So they basically got the Raspberry Pi wired up into this little remote car, little Wi-Fi system, and basically they've got it programmed to do the, forward, reverse, turn right or left, and so forth. So it just goes to show you what folks are able to do with these real inexpensive processing cards, and specifically the Raspberry Pi, which is a very, very cool project to begin with. But this is kind of a cool dealio. I have a link up in the show notes to talk about how you can implement your own. And but I think this is kind of slick on what people are doing. All right, a little bit in more on space news. Mars rover Opportunity slips into standby mode. You guys know that it's been kind of quiet on the Opportunity front, and that's largely because there's been a Mars solar conjunction going on, and mission controllers for Opportunity, which landed on Mars in January 2004, first learned of the issue on Saturday, April 27th. On that day, the rover got back in touch after a nearly three-week communication moratorium caused by the unfavorable alignment called a Mars solar conjunction. And basically, Opportunity had basically rebooted after it sensed a problem. But they're getting the Opportunity rover up and running again and be able to get on the move. Now, remember, Opportunity has been on Mars again since 2004. You think about that. How long we've been going here? 8 years and Opportunity is still cranking. So, they've been through a number of these events with Opportunity because Mars solar conjunctions happen every 26 months. So this is like the fifth event for them. But the first time that they've come out of this solar conjunction with it being in a, basically I'm kind of in my safe mode. And knowing this, the scientists had already planned for it, and basically they'll be up and running here real quick with it. Also, Progress resupply ship from Russia has docked at the International Space Station, despite an antenna on the spacecraft that failed to deploy. So that's good news. So fresh supplies and fuel and so forth has been brought up. And another successful launch by the Russians. I was reading on AnoDash's website at dashes.com today. I got to admit, that's a pretty cool domain. And Ano has always been big on CMSs, content management systems. And apparently there's a new blogging platform that's got a Kickstarter going. It's called Ghost. And it's really starting out inexpensive. They had, I believe, a £25,000 goal. And they've already raised $32,000 of that. And they basically have got a new CMS that they're building, making it easy for people to blog and so forth. And simply what's going to happen here is they're trying to make this software get finished up. They're going to deliver it. And for as low as, I believe, £10, or is that lira? What is that? You see, you know, here's something I'll be straight up with. Those of you that live in Europe, you guys know all the denominations is of money. Do you not? And here, we're so stupid. I'm looking at them like, is that that's not a pound? Is that a lira? Or what? This guy's from Austria. So, I don't know. Just call me an idiot. Anyway, he raised 32,000 of something, pounds, euros, whatever it may be. And I'm just cracking up here. So anyway, looks like he's made his pledge, but for 10 or more of whatever type of money this is, you can get in on the action. I'm sure what I need to do is just Google money symbols. So you see, we're so spoiled here with a dollar sign. We really are. And it just shows you how much I don't know. All right, Google to Glass developers. Duh. Go ahead and hack your headset. Google may not want you people selling their glasses, but they have no problem with developers hacking on the hardware and software. So they're saying, go ahead, knock it out, make it happen, which is good news. So they've unlocked, jailbroke, whatever you want to call. They went ahead and dug in pretty deep on this. And it's actually the device is intentionally left unlocked. Personally, I don't, it seems like if I would attempt to unlock anything, I'd probably brick it. So definitely not going to try that when I get my my pair of Google Glass. All right, there's a new software program that's talked about on TechCrunch called Handle. Handle is a proprietary engine and task management app for your inbox. If those of you are having challenges with email management or task management, this might be a great one to check out. It's gotten some pretty good reviews. I was looking at it. I'm not specifically looking for this type of application myself, but it was talked about at TechCrunch Disrupt. So a lot of people are saying good things about that. So definitely check out Handle. Again, it's a priority engine and task management app for your inbox. Hey, if you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Twitter account is @geeknews. Well, in a twist here, chat apps have overtaken SMS by message volume, but how big a disaster is that for carriers? Well, I think it's pretty big. You know, my wife, she's been using an iPhone 4S, and she doesn't do messaging very much, but her and her girlfriends are all on this chat thing, and it's they do it in Kanji, and it's just an ongoing stream of conversation. I personally haven't used quote unquote chat software per se, but I guess chat apps basically have taken over in a big way. And basically this is bad news for the telcos who have made so much money over SMS stuff. So Informa says in 2012, they saw nearly 19 billion messages sent over these apps each day around the world, versus 17.6 billion SMS messages. The analyst house reckons the contrast will be even starker in 2014, with 21 billion text messages projected against almost 50 billion app-based messages. So it makes you wonder, doesn't it? What's going to happen there? And we know that different types of apps have a different type of chat stuff. And certain groups are using them. Look at my wife and all of her friends. They're all on this little Japanese chat thing, and it seems to be quite the rage. She told me what it was called before, and to be honest with you, I kind of didn't pay attention to it. But they used a lot because I primarily still use SMS. All right, Skycam. This is kind of a cool product. This is an article found over at GigaOhm. Skycam is a simple $99 remote webcam solution that uses Skype. So basically, you get a Skycam. They can record video on a micro SD card. You can access the camera remotely in real time from practically any connected PC or Mac. Basically, secret sauce here is the use of Skype. And basically, to set up a Skycam, you simply add it to your Skype account where it becomes one of your favorite contacts. And you want to pop in and check on your pets, just call your Skycam through the standard Skype app. The app will answer and turn on the video, and you'll be able to see different locations in your house. So this is pretty cool. You can set these up across a couple of different places in your home. But this is a new Indiegogo project. And let me see where they're at on their fundraising. Let me actually bring this up. They got to raise, they're not doing real well on their goal, but it just started. So let me bring this up. Maybe you guys would be interested. I think this is kind of cool. And this is kind of a do-it-yourself security camera almost. They raised $2,138 of the $50,000 goal. And basically, they're trying to get you to commit to at least $99. And again, this is a IP-based camera that you can stick almost anywhere, connects via Wi-Fi to your network, and then you can basically connect to it via Skype. And they say comparable price is about, the cheapest is about $200. I think that's about right. And plus you got to add DNS fees and so forth. But this one here basically will... you just call it, and it you'll be able to see inside your house. So pretty slick little unit, and but I like it that you can assign Skype accounts to the camera, which is really, really, really slick. All right, moving on here. The DOE, yes, Department of Energy, rejected most of the electric car startups that wanted loans. Now, you know, Fisker here has recently failed, and with them being the spotlight for failing to pay back its close to $200 million loan from Department of Energy. This is another one of these, energy green projects that's failed and basically sucked our taxpayer dollars down the drain with them. But there's a lot more. There's a huge number of companies that have they're in the same situation. So let's look at one called Bright Automotive. They were not awarded any money, but they applied for $450 million loan. They shut down in February 2012. Aptra, not awarded anything. They applied for $150 million loan. They shut down in December 2011. Tesla Motors awarded $465 million. Full payment received. And they've... reach a rate of 20,000 Model S cars per year. Don't know where they're at in paying their money back. Fisker was awarded $529 million, but only received $129 million. They made zero vehicles. Koda applied for $334 million. They were going to build an all-electric sedan, but apparently they have less than 100. They've been hit with layoffs and recalls. Think they weren't awarded any money. So, you know, all of these companies ask for money and all of them are out of business. Although the amount of money that was given to Fisker and Tesla is only a small portion of the money that this, what was called from the ATVM. ATVM loan portfolio basically gave bulk of the loans, went to big automakers. Did you guys know that we gave money to Nissan? We gave money to Ford and a bunch of other companies as well to build basically electric vehicles. This to me was a very big surprise. And they've paid out about $8.4 billion to a variety of companies. So this $200 million that the folks at Fisker didn't pay back is just a drop in the bucket as all the other money that's been laid out. So I want to dig into this a little more and see who's paid back and who hasn't. But it's pretty incredible that with Fisker being in the news, that they were only represent about 2% of the total cash that's been awarded. And more tech stuff today. You know, I've talked about this in years past, and I haven't talked about it recently. Whenever I go to Japan, one of the places I go is I go to their stationery stores. And you think, why do you go to their stationery stores? Well, in Japan, they have this affection for making fantastic pens and pencils. I mean, they are absolutely incredible. They have stores that are dedicated to pens and pencils. And you think that's kind of weird, but I'm going to tell you, if you've ever watched a Japanese person write hiragana and the intricacies of katakana and kanji and all that, they got to have a nice pen to do that. Sure, they people do on a typewriter, but all job applications in Japan are handwritten. And part of the reason it is because they want to judge your utilization of the Japanese language. And basically, they want you to do it in kanji versus hiragana or katakana, because kanji is much harder. They can tell your education level. And because there's a lot of stuff still being handwritten in Japan and not everything is computerized, they sell these fantastic writing instruments. So when I saw this article over in Gizmodo talking about wooden pens are simply elegant, they've kind of caught on. There's a Japanese brand called Midori that, and I can just tell that this guy fell in love, or this gal fell in love with the Japanese pens and pencils. Now, you guys are going to think this is totally whacked, but it's true. You go over there and I don't know what it is, but I always end up spending $20, $30 buying pens and pencils. It's kind of bizarre. You know, we all go to, our Office Max or wherever, and we pick up the bulk, right? We all still do that. You know, those are those throwaway pens, but I've got a drawer here that has pens and pencils that basically are off limits. They're dads. And some of them are very nice. Now, these are going to run you $65. So I'd have to really, you know, test it to make sure it was nice. But I'm going to tell you something about Japanese and putting together writing utensils. I guess that's the best way to declare them. It's nothing short of a fantastic. And those of you that have been to Japan that know what I'm talking about, you're shaking your head yes, and the rest of you are going, this guy's weird. So let's talk just a little bit about some stuff that's been going on over here at Geek News Central. Again, I did talk about this earlier about the new media show with Michael Wolff. Definitely get subscribed to the new media show. We want you to listen. I think the content is very compelling. It's something I have a passion about talking about. I try not to get too deep in this show, but definitely love talking about it on the weekends with folks. I want to thank Rob Greenlee, my co-host, too, for really putting in the time and getting the guests lined up. Alan wrote up a great post about a new black box brings XMBC to the set-top box market. XMBC has long been the darling of the HTPC crowd, bringing a free and open source alternative to Windows Media Center. A Dutch company wants to bring their platform to a set-top box known as the Little Black Box. The device has just become available for pre-order. Going to contain 1 gig of memory, 4 gig of flash, 800 meg for the system, and 3.2 gig for XMBC. And the Meson 3 single core processor capable of running at 1 gigahertz but clocked at 800. It's going to be available for, here we go, 99.99 euros. So very cool find by Alan. We'll see. You know, Alan, so you're going to do a follow up. Tell us how easy it is to program to that XMBC platform. Another article that was written up by Jen is a article talking about pirates are frustrated by piracy. And this is a good one. Wait to hear what these folks did. So Greenheart Games has done something really unique. With the release of their brand new game, they also released a cracked version of the game. And they put that up on BitTorrent, made it available. That contains something that the real version did not. So what was happening was Game Dev Tycoon is a sim game where you run a game development company. The idea is to create some great games and make much as much money as you can. The cracked version included in the game messages. So here, listen up. The cracked version included in-game messages that were designed to look like the regular ones. One such message reads, "Boss, it seems that while many players play our new game, they steal it by downloading a cracked version rather than buying it legally. If players don't buy the games they like, we'll sooner or later go bankrupt." So this is a message within the game itself. Now, in the cracked version of the game, that's exactly what happens. Every time, so these are people that didn't buy it, that downloaded over BitTorrent. Every time the player creates a good game, he or she finds out that more people are pirating it than paying for it. Over time, they go bankrupt as a result. So Greenheart Games basically found a way to basically kind of put a stick out there and jab the pirates in the face. And this game only cost $8. But they went out, and the people that get the game for $8 can make money and enjoy the game, da-da-da-da. But the people that go out and download it and hack it, well, they never make no money. They always go bankrupt. So they switched the code around a little bit so that made the game actually pirate itself, the game that the gamers, that they dev. So this is very, very smart here. This is a huge learning potential, as Jen says. So I just thought it was pretty slick what they did. And they put their own version, their own pirated version out there with a little different code. I can only imagine the response by those that didn't pay for it. Let's see here. Last few articles tonight. Great one from a Visualized Space Hurricane. NASA Cassini records super cyclone on Saturn. So a pretty cool video on that. I'll have that up in the show notes. Some news out that Android is widening quarter one as iPhone loses market share and Windows Phone is actually gaining ground. So that's an interesting move in the news department. I'll have those percentages or that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Their study is claiming that Facebook is losing, has lost 6 million U.S. visitors in just 1 month. I'm not surprised that Facebook is seeing a decline. They haven't done anything compelling to keep people. So maybe Facebook fatigue is setting in. PayPal is trying to expand further into stores, but Walmart's being a holdout, and they haven't been able to persuade Walmart to take PayPal. So this is kind of an interesting move here, but so far no move into the retailer. But they have been able to get fast food giant Burger King, cosmetic retailer Sephora, and gadget sellers Brookstone will accept PayPal in their stores by the end of this year. So that's kind of interesting. Nordstrom is also signed on for PayPal. That's pretty cool. Of course, they've got a partnership with Discover, and that's how kind of PayPal's getting in the door there. So kind of an interesting move. Mars, let's see here. Let me look at this. Mars Tethered. Oh, I didn't read this in the preview, so we'll skip that one. Oh, the Boeing 787 is resuming passenger flights. They did some test flights out of Japan. Ethiopian Airlines has flown some passenger-carrying flights. So it looks like the 787 will probably fully be back in service in most places by June. So we'll see what happens with that as time goes on. I guess that's it. That's all I got for you tonight. And kind of wraps up pretty much on time, a little bit ahead of schedule. I do have... hey, Dale, thanks for hanging out. I know it's late your time. Have a good sleep, dude. Let's see here. Let me bring up the email because we did have some comments come in tonight, that were sent in and, waiting for Thunderbird to load. And, oh, I'm hearing a little buzz too in feedback. And we got something amiss. All right. So let me look here what I've got in comments. I got an email from Robert. He said, "Hey, Todd, just in case you missed my message on Google Plus today, I happened to run across this TechHive article from earlier this month." So let me load this and what this is referencing to. Oh, it's a roundup of Android podcast managers. So they've got a roundup of the best Android podcatchers. And let me load this up. and see which ones they have listed. Let's see here. Podcaster Magic is one. And let me tell you, let me give you guys Beyond Pod, Dog Catcher. Let's see here. What else? OneCast, Double Twist, TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio has been doing good. They're expanding. MyPod, PodKicker, Pocket Cast. So those are some of those that they had. And I'm going to tell you the one that's really been smoking it here lately. And that's Beyond Pod. They are really doing really well in the on the Android space. And worthy a checkout. And matter of fact, we'll be talking about them tomorrow in our press release. Let's see here. What else? In my email, I've got here, same thing. Got an email here from MS Small Biz. Todd, you recently mentioned the court case in which a federal judge has ruled against the FBI in forcing somebody to decrypt their hard drive. And I want to expand on that some and data protection in general. I tried to cut this back as much as possible, but still long. So if you need to highlight the points for the show versus reading it step by step, that's understood. I have capitalized the boldface certain key points for this reason. The case you mentioned is against Jeffrey Feldman in U.S. District Court of Wisconsin. Mr. Feldman is accused, but not charged, with distributing child porn. However, it appears law enforcement has no evidence they can present to back up the charges. So they make their case that they want the data on Mr. Feldman's various hard drives, some 16 of them, and it was to be considered a rare occurrence. The U.S. magistrate judge, and I highlight magistrate, heard case brought by the feds to issue an order forcing Feldman to decrypt the hard drives. Feldman himself did not argue against it, as no lawyer represented him, as he is not charged with anything this time. He says several key points should be noted in this ruling, and frankly, I'm impressed with this magistrate, showed some technical level that we just do not see in general. First off, the FBI claimed they found references to file names which were indicative of child pornography, which had been downloaded to drives F, G, and I. As you and I both know, file names and drive letters are not conclusive ties to content. Other files, in the case of the drive letters, can certainly not definitively linking of an external drive to a set of drive letter. It is obviously easy to mount a drive using any drive letter or name, a file, any name, which has nothing to do with the contents. Unfortunately, the magistrate completely missed this point and concludes the file names and drive letters are in fact enough information to warrant forcing Feldman to decrypt the drives. What he actually rules on is the fact that the FBI cannot show that Mr. Feldman and only Mr. Feldman has access and control over those drives. He says this is a huge distinction and should be noted. He basically rules that because a file is names, this is, let's say, porn.jpg, then the file must certainly be porn. However, because it was saved to an external drive, which the FBI cannot show has only been in the possession of Mr. Feldman and only Mr. Feldman knows how to decrypt it, then forcing Mr. Feldman to decrypt the drive would be forcing him to testify against himself, basically admitting that, yes, he had possession of the drives and, yes, he knows how to decrypt them, something the government cannot show at this time. He says, sorry for the background, but I think this is very important to understand if we want to discuss how to keep our data private. I am not condoning child pornography in any way, but I think everyone should understand that given the right circumstances, anything the cops find can be turned against you. That adage, if you have nothing to hide, just doesn't apply, and frankly, it's a stupid statement when you look at the world we live in today. Do you literally want all the guys down at the local police department looking through all the pictures you have of your wife and kids, even the most innocent ones? As such, we should be protecting our data in such ways to keep it out of the bad guys' hands as well as snoopy government officials. If the government can show you committed a crime, they can force access to that data. If they think you are a bad person and want to go digging around and have the right to say no, and that's all data encryption is doing, saying no. To do this, there are a few things we can take away from the ruling as well as the other court cases. First and foremost, don't use cloud services to store private information. Data stored on third-party servers have been shown to be wide open to requests by law enforcement using nothing more than a can we have it request. It is not the government you should be concerned with, but let's say you get involved with a civil matter. Would you want opposing party to be able to go XYZ online server and say, we need this data and potentially get access to it? Or maybe they go to a magistrate in the middle of the night and have them sign a subpoena for the data. Again, it's not about trying to be illegal and get away with it, but to force opposing party to show a legal right to your data due to a real judge in an open court where you get to present your arguments against it. Next, we should all be using encryption. End of story. Second, it would appear from the recent ruling, we should be mixing things up a bit by using multiple hard drives to store data, multiple account names on our computers, as well as some basic tricks to combat highlights from the ruling. This basically boils down, the burden is on the police to prove that the drive is encrypted, that it contains evidence of a crime, and you and only you have the key. Number one, don't encrypt an entire drive. At least with TrueCrypt, use encrypted volumes instead. It's my understanding that a drive encrypted with TrueCrypt will show the header portions of that data of that drive that is in fact encrypted by TrueCrypt. If we create an encrypted volume on that drive, there's no such reference and the data in the volume just appears as random junk. No proof that the volume is either encrypted or contains any valid data. Second off, any pass keys, passwords used to access that volume are tossed out of memory the second you dismount the volume. A hard drive such as your boot hard drive keeps the pass tokens in memory as long as the system is booted, maybe for a short time thereafter within the memory chips and potentially vulnerable to forensics. One option here would be to encrypt your boot drive but keep all data in the encrypted volumes on secondary drives, and going back to the ruling, make sure you have multiple drives. Don't name the encrypted volume My Encrypted Data. Same would apply to drives in general. Don't give them volume name, which denotes their contents, My Baking Data versus External or Tigabit. I would note that TrueCrypt, the extension of the volume, can be anything. Run a data eraser. Clean up app on your computer on a regular basis. While deep diving forensics can recover almost anything, there's certainly no reason to make it easy. Of course, I'm talking about hard drives here. An SSD drive poses different problems as we don't want to waste write cycles, not to mention data that resides on the drive after certain areas have been set aside by wear leveling. Pass keys or passwords. I personally think that nothing beats a pass key, as the length will be far longer than anyone's average password, not to mention truly random. With TrueCrypt, the use of the pass key is very easy, and I provide only two hints. The extension doesn't matter, and the string path isn't smart. TrueCrypt also allows for use of both. Hint, hint, if the passkey is stored somewhere you don't have access to or no longer exists, the data can't be recovered. There are a large number of things I do that go well beyond the above that I won't mention here for various reasons. No sense telling cops what I'm doing or tell criminals how to make it even harder. In the end, takeaway is use encryption. Make sure you have deniability, such as having multiple drives. Don't be stupid in naming file bombs, and don't assume that you have nothing to hide. You have nothing to lose. Whew. Wow. That took us out. So this is pretty extensive. I'm going to have to read this again, and you guys may have to listen to this three times, but I think he has some information here that might be worthy of listening to again, if you want to keep data out of prying eyes. Again, he's saying for protection, not condoning anything that's going on, but better yet, make it hard for him. Don't make it easy. All right. Got an email here from, let me look at the date. Yes. From Tim. It's been about 2.5 months since I last turned my Time Warner cable box and watched a live recorded DVR show. I got a good push when my cable box went out, and I've been extremely busy to have it replaced. Not only am I too busy when I'm not, I find myself out of the house doing outdoor activities such as scuba diving, going to Disneyland, and going to see a movie. Even when I want to watch something to fall asleep to YouTube, Amazon Prime, and small collection of personal movies keep me entertained enough. There's no time for cable. Yet I'm still paying about $150 for both cable and the net. I guess Time Warner can add me as yet another monthly statistical loss. I can't see them doing anything that would want to keep the TV running. Maybe if they gave me 50 megs down. I agree, Tim. A new app is claiming to spill the beans. The current market wholesale price of any vehicle from 1998 to the current models, giving you a tactical advantage in car buying. And it's basically, this app claims to reveal secret prices used car dealers buy. Get this, folks. Get this app. $9.99 for 3 months if you're going to buy a new vehicle. Also, I got another email here from Gary. If you haven't seen this already, geek-worthy item, turning a standard LCD monitor into a touchscreen with a 5-wall mounted sensor. I'll have that link up in the show notes. Let's see here. Is this, who is this from? This came from a PR person. We don't want to go that. And we already covered the rest. All right, that wraps me up. Geeknews@gmail.com. That's the way to send emails, folks. That's the way to react to something on the program. So definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Hit me on Twitter at Geek News. And of course, I'm your venerable host here, Todd Cochran from Geek News Central. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. Those of you that stayed on the stream tonight, Spitballs, thanks for being out with us. Dale, thanks for coming on too. There were some other people on the chat a little earlier. Thanks for being here. Hope the show was good. We'll work on this audio issue. We apologize for it, but it's one of those things. When you switch out gear, sometimes you just don't get the switches right. And we'll get that figured out. But until next time, everyone take care. We'll see you. And thanks for being here. Aloha.